Sportsnet today on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Ben Ennis. You can follow me on Twitter at BenEssNet. The Toronto Blue Jays, they lose again. Mark Burley, no likey, the New York Yankees. At least he beat him once in his career, right? It happened 100 years ago, but Mark Burley now 1-14 all time against the Yankees. His ERA over 6 against them, and not great in yesterday's 5-3 loss either, but looks like he will get to his 200 innings once again this season. Now just 6 innings shy of it. Went 6 yesterday. So that streak of the starters going 6 innings continues for the Blue Jays. So that's exciting. Except they lose more than half of those games, which is kind of shocking. Now, if this team could have gotten this type of pitching, and it's not like the pitching has been otherworldly. It's been good. But remember how poor the starting pitching was last year? They had guys struggling to get through 2-3 innings. They had Ramon Ortiz. They had Chenming Wong. They had Josh Johnson, very briefly, just struggling to get through 3 innings. Imagine if they had this starting staff last year. Would have been a bit of a different outlook going into the season, but nevertheless, this team having trouble scoring right now, and you can understand why. Missing Brett Laurie for as long as they have, missing now Melky Cabrera for the rest of the season. It has turned into where we thought, oh man, this could be a fun homestand because they're going to be in it, 4 against the Mariners and then 3 against the Baltimore Orioles. Now it's going to be fun for a different reason, because seems like we're going to see a whole bunch of Dalton Pompey, who got his first major league hit out of the way yesterday at Yankee Stadium as well. Mike Wilner joins me on the line right now, host of Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Ben.
So I was kind of recalling when I saw Dalton Pompey's base hit to right field. I felt like there was another first that happened at Yankee Stadium, and it just came to me in the last hour. Travis Snyder got his first major league hit, I believe, at Yankee Stadium over the head of Johnny Damon to center field. Do you remember that? Don't you remember Travis Snyder first hit? No? Are you alive? I think we lost him. Maybe he was just so impressed by my memory of that. That he was, it was blown away that I have such a photographic memory of Travis Snyder's line shot to center field off the wall, and Dalton Pompey's wasn't exactly line shot to center field. Nice little line shot to right field though, in his first start goes 1-for-4, had a strikeout, playing left field. And after the game, John Gibbons saying that he is going to get a good run here the rest of the season. What's with you? Did you hear my question?
All I heard was Travis Snyder and a bunch of garbled garbage. I was in an underground parking lot on the way home from taking my children to a CHFI sneak preview of The Box Troll.
I don't know what that is. Is that a movie?
It is, in fact.
Oh, how was it?
It was quite good. It was lovely.
Okay, well, what I said was Dalton Pompey, first major league hit at Yankee Stadium, and if I recall correctly, Travis Snyder had his first major league hit, yeah, Yankees, over Johnny Damon's head in center field, right? You remember that?
I remember that it was in Yankee Stadium. I don't remember the details quite as much. Pompey, he's got a very interesting swing. I liked how he got himself in that 3-1 count, and he wasn't nervous or jumpy or anything like that, and then he kind of just slashed at a high fastball and drove it over second base. It was a really nice piece of hitting. And even though he was only 1-for-4, in two of his other 3 at-bats, he hit absolute rocket right down the line. And Mark Teixeira, who's one of the best in the business, made a couple of great plays. So he could easily have had 3 hits. It was a very, very impressive first big league start.
He starts every day now the rest of the season, right?
I don't know about every day, but I think we're going to see a lot of him.
It's obviously it's all over but the crying now for the Blue Jays, as they've lost 6 in a row, their tragic number now at 4. So any combination of 4 or 4 losses or 4 wins by the Royals or 2 of each, I mean, this thing could be over by Monday. Does it matter? I mean, that doesn't matter anymore, right? The fact that they're mathematically alive. John Gibbons is going to play his lineup as if they have been eliminated. He wants to see the Dalton Pompeys of the world. He's going to play guys that he wants to see. And if they had to, they would in say Mark Burley's next start, they'll let him go six innings if he gives up 45 runs, won't they?
No, I don't think so. And I think that the reason we're going to see a lot more of Pompeii is because, you know, the same reason that the thinking behind benching keeping Colby Rasmus benched after Melky Cabrera got hurt is that John Gibbons feels like he gives him a better chance to win than what he's going with right now. I mean, the way Kevin Pillar and Anthony Gose have been hitting, the way the whole 7-8-9 bottom of the order has been, it's been terrible. I mean, if you're in my studio, and I think you might be,
yep,
as opposed to the big fancy one on the other side.
It smells in here.
Yeah, so it's definitely because Samet and Russick were in there after me. But there's a little yellow post-it note on that table that shows just how bad the 7-9 hitters had been the last seven games before last night. I think they
10 for 73.
Yeah, 10 for 73. So hitting like 137 with an OPS under 400. Last night they were 3 for 12, so that makes it 13 for 85, which is still awful. And so, you know, Pompeii at least seemed to have a pulse down there where the other guys had just been so brutal.
It's understandable right now that this team's missing Melky Cabrera. They've missed Brett Laurie for majority of the season. But how does this team go about fixing that next year? And I don't know. Like, if they go with that platoon in center field of Anthony Gose and Kevin Pillar, they're going to get some outstanding defense. We know that. And Kevin Pillar's effect on the game defensively, I mean, it's been felt already. Some spectacular catches in left field the other day. But,
right, man, and Gose is better.
Yeah, and Gose is even better in center field. But can you go with the complete black hole 7-9 that the Blue Jays have gotten recently?
No.
So how do you change it?
Well, you change it by finding a left fielder next year, and that means either bringing Melky Cabrera back, or if you can't, going out and getting somebody. I still think that Kevin Pillar is going to hit. I think that, you know, these aren't things I think. These are things that are true. He's in his fourth year as a professional. He's very young. And he's got a career batting average over 300 at every single level of the minor league. So he has hit wherever he's been. And he's having a hard time adjusting to the major leagues. We see that he seems anxious. He's jumpy. He's all the things that Dalton Pompeii wasn't last night. And so I'm not willing to say Kevin Pillar is never going to hit. I think Anthony Gose has the capability of being a guy who can get out not that much. And, you know, if he has an on base of 320, then he's fine. And they're fine in a bottom of the order platoon. But you look at what Ghost's numbers have been in September and maybe even a little before that, it's deplorable. Right? He's hitting about 130 with an on base about 200. It's been terrible. But I think you can exist with one black hole, just one. So what that means is, if you're going with Gose and Pillar sharing center field, you need a real left fielder,
yep,
whether it's Melky Cabrera or somebody else. You need a real second baseman or third baseman. You need somebody who – you need a left-handed bat who can actually hit right-handed pitching, because you can't live with Gose and Goins in the bottom of the order. And we've seen that over the course of the last week in these – you know, it stands out so much more when you've lost six games in a row and you're not scoring any runs and all that stuff. But it was only a week ago that I was thinking, well, what if you did just put three gloves at the bottom of the order and you lived with it? Well, we've seen what happens if you sacrifice run production for run prevention, you lose games 2-0.
Yeah.
And or 3-2 like you did the other day. And I'm not saying that it's a guarantee, but you do need to be able to score some runs, and you need something every once in a while from the people in the bottom of your lineup.
What if, and it's easy to get caught up in just a couple of games and even a week's worth of Dalton Pompeii starts, but what if he is your best option in center field?
That would really be something, wouldn't it?
But Is Alex Anthopoulos open to the idea? Do you think of him starting in center field on opening day?
He's in the major leagues right now. So, yes, they're very obviously open to giving him a real look, seeing what he can do. And you know, September is fool's gold, especially now when you're going to play 9 games left in the season, right? 2 against the Yankees, who are out of it. 4 of them are against the Mariners, who have something to play for. And who have unbelievable pitching. So if you see Pompeii in there, that's a kind of a true-ish test of what he can actually do. And then 3 of them, the last 3 will be against Baltimore, who are playing for nothing. So it doesn't really count as much as it counts. I don't know if a strong 10 games out of Dalton Pompeii says, hey, all right, he's your starter next year, or he gets a legitimate shot to be your starter and you don't want to go looking for somebody else. But I do think that certainly it's not going to be a foregone conclusion that you use the Ghost Pilar combo in center field, that Pompeii is going to get a shot. He's going to play in spring training and he's going to play a lot, and they'll take a good look at him, see if he can't make this team.
Mike Wilner joins me, host of Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jays and Yankees going this afternoon. 3:30 pregame show, I believe. You don't have extendo, do you? 3:30.
Nope.
Mark Burley lost again yesterday. But the starting pitching, Mike, it's hard for me to figure, kind of, this year. When you only start eight starters, which is, I mean, it's got to be among the lowest in all of Major League Baseball. They've only suffered one real catastrophic injury to a starting pitcher, and that was Brandon Morrow very early in the season. You've had pretty consistent, if not spectacular, starting pitching from day one of the season till now. And I mean, this stretch of 6 innings or more and whatever, 25 straight games. I mean, that's impressive, but they're below 500, I believe, in those 25 games, right?
12-13.
So what do we make of that? Because sure, last year you would have taken the starting pitching you've gotten this season out of Blue Jays starters, but
what did they use, 13 last year?
It seemed like a trillion. It was a team record or something, wasn't it? It was unbelievable. 13 even seems low. But they've been extremely lucky with injuries. The pitching hasn't been spectacular. We know they don't have a quote-unquote ace. And R.A. Dickey's good, but he's not an ace. What do you do with this starting staff? Are you just saying, hey, you know what? The Orioles kind of did it this way, and they got by with superior defense as well and some big bats, and you figure that's the way we're going to do it? Or, I mean, you would like to get that ace. I don't know how you go about doing it. I just don't know what you make of this starting rotation.
Well, you know, we'd all love him to get James Shields in the offseason. He's a free agent, and I think that would be pretty fantastic, but he's going to be on the top of everybody's list,
right?
And it's going to be very difficult for them to bring him in for the same reasons it's difficult to sign any free agents. I mean, this remains a team that has not been a factor in a playoff race for 2 decades, and that's not very attractive to free agent. Even though we finally got some meaningful games in September for the first couple of weeks this year, it's still, you know, they may finish third, and they, for all we know, they might finish under 500 the way things are going.
Yeah,
it's not a crazily attractive destination, no matter how good the pieces are around them. I think you make a good point when you talk about Baltimore. They don't have an ace. They just don't. They don't have that dominant starting pitcher, you know, the Roy Halladay or whatever. They've gotten by with decent starting pitching. It's probably not quite as good as the Blue Jays starting pitching. And
really, you think it's not quite as good?
The starters?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think I think it's not quite as good. I think that next year they're going to have a stronger Gausman, and the Blue Jays will have a stronger Stroman and Hutchinson and Sanchez, and maybe one of those guys emerges as your go-to ace, and I'm more than willing to give all 3 of them the opportunity. But you look at what Baltimore did and how have they won 93 games or whatever it is. What have they done better than the Blue Jays? 3 things. They've had a better bullpen, which has been hugely significant. They hit more home runs, and they catch the ball better. And catching the ball, playing defense, makes your pitching so much better. So one of the things we think is, well, Brett Laurie's going to be back. And how much is that going to help the defense? And the answer is tremendously. But the question is, how many games are you going to be able to play?
Right.
Because I don't think you can say, well, Brett Laurie's going to be back next year and everything will be fine, because this is a guy who's been hurt every year. And hopefully he shakes that at some point, but it's not something you can count on.
The Orioles, 11th in all of baseball in starters ERA at 3.62. The Blue Jays, 23rd in all of Major League Baseball. I didn't realize it was so bad, really. 404.
But I'll bet you, if I could speak geek for a second.
Yeah, their FIP?
I'll bet you their FIPs are almost the same.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, those 40 points-ish in ERA, can those be attributed solely to defense? I think a large part of it is probably defense, right?
I think a large part of it is defense. I mean, Manny Machado's been out for a while, but the Orioles, when he's in there, have a complete and utter lockdown on the left side of the infield. They've got, when David Lowe plays left field, they've got three really, really good defensive outfielders. And, you know, just, I think maybe even the Reyes-Hardy thing alone tips the scales quite a bit towards Baltimore's favor. Because they have a shortstop who makes outs, and the Blue Jays do not. And that's a big difference. And, you know, when Danny Valencia or Juan Francisco is playing third base, that's a pretty wide open left side.
Here's an interesting one, Mike. I haven't figured out on Fangraphs how to filter it by starters or not, but overall xFIP, so that is even more than FIP. It takes into effect park factors, I believe, and normalizes the number.
Yeah, it adds the X into that, I think.
Yeah. And reverse order, so one would be the worst xFIP in all of baseball. The Blue Jays are fifth, so fifth worst. The Orioles, though, sixth worst. They have exactly the same FIPs overall.
See?
The Blue Jays and the Orioles. So, I mean, shows to go you. But, yes, I think defense matters, and it matters.
And the park matters a little, as you know, when you add the X in there. Rogers Center is much, much more of a home run park than Camden Yards. We used to think of Camden Yards as a launching pad, but it really isn't. I think the last few years, in fact, it's favored pitchers over there. So the combination of those two things, That's what changes those numbers.
Yeah, and actually, I was able to sort by starters, and yes, the Blue Jays have a better xFIP among starters than the Orioles. The Orioles at 4.15 and the Blue Jays 4.02. So neither have been good. Like, that's the thing. It's not like the Orioles have good starting pitching. In fact, if you go by the nerd numbers, they're the third worst in all of baseball. And yet, here they are.
Crazy.
I mean, man. It really does show show
they
you
catch the they hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, it is no question a big part of their game. Talking to Mike Wilner, host of Blue Jays Baseball here, Sportsnet today, Sportsnet Radio Network. This Mark Burley Yankees thing is getting kind of old, Mike.
I can't believe it, to be honest with you. I mean, and yesterday the double play not turned that leads to a couple of extra runs, and that's the difference in the game. Really hasn't actually pitched that badly against the Yankees this year. It's amazing because every time he gives up a run to them, everyone's like, oh, here we go again. See, this is why Burley and whatever. But he's taken a shutout into the sixth or seventh against them a couple of times. And he's had opportunities to win and had one bad inning, one little hiccup here and there, or one mistake or two made behind him, a bunch of ground balls that get through, those sort of things. But at this point, you know, they're talking about maybe making a move of a starting pitcher in the offseason, trademark Burley to the National League just so he doesn't have to face the Yankees anymore.
There's not a trade to be made with Mark Burley, I don't see, Mike. Do you see that? I mean, you have to eat a whole bunch of that contract then.
Probably, or you get less return if you don't eat a whole bunch of that contract. But, you know, this is still a veteran workhorse who keeps you in a ball game.
Yeah.
Gets the job done, who throws innings, and there's value in that. And I think a team like, you know, I think he's a perfect fit for St. Louis. I really do. I think they would love to have him. And you can kind of get creative there and you can do and how much you have to eat or what they're willing or not willing to give back. I don't know that you make that trade, but then, you know, even if you eat $6 million, he's not worth $13 million next year.
No.
When you've already got three starters in the rotation making $500,000 each, or a little more if Drew Hutchison goes to arbitration. But you could potentially have R.A. Dickey, Jay Happ, Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, and Drew Hutchison making a combined $20.5 million next year, and have Mark Burley making 19.
Isn't it, when I contemplate the trading of either Mark Burley or an R.A. Dickey, and I think, oh, the Blue Jays, they just have all this starting pitching depth. That's the scariest phrase I think you can utter, because whenever you think you have starting pitching depth, I mean, how much depth did the Atlanta Braves think they had? You know, you can never have enough. And that's why I wonder if Alex looks at it the same way. Although, I mean, you've got other holes you'd like to fill, and you would like the youngsters to get an opportunity. But Mike, I mean, guys, it's not every season you go the entire route using eight starters. That's extremely rare.
It's unbelievably rare. And it's true. You know, last year we thought the Blue Jays had a ton of starting pitching depth. Jay Happ was going to be their sixth starter. And down in Buffalo, they had four guys with major league experience. And then they picked up Chen Ming Wong in season. It was going to be fine. And it was a horror show. So, you know, the same thing could potentially happen next year, which is why you are reluctant to trade Mark Burley. But the truth is, if you trade Burley, and even if you eat $5 or $6 million, the cash that it frees up, you can pick up another couple or three starting pitchers for depth in the minor leagues, and you can still have enough money to do some other things. So, you know, you've got the five: Sanchez, Stroman, Hutchison, Dickey, Happ. You've got Ricky Romero coming back off a knee surgery. You've got Nolan. You've got Norris. There are guys. You've got Graveman, potentially Drabek. It's, you know, nobody has an all-star team, an all-star rotation beneath their starting rotation, but it would appear as though they've got some starting pitching depth. But some of that might have to be moved in the offseason in order to get the offensive holes filled.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting offseason for the Blue Jays, to be sure. And maybe some of the interesting movement comes in the form of a managerial change. Now,
I would bet on that.
You wouldn't bet on it?
No.
Kind of some cryptic comments, though, from Alex Anthopoulos recently. Did you make nothing of the fact that he said, yes, he's our manager because he's under contract, and you stick with people until you don't stick with them anymore? It wasn't exactly as ringing an endorsement.
No, it wasn't as ringing an endorsement as it was last year. That's true. Well, last year he said, no, there's never been any thought about it. Why would we make a change? He's the manager. These were, the phrasing was different. But I really believe, you know, unless there's behind-the-scenes stuff going on, and you know, there are some things that John Gibbons has done that would indicate that maybe he wasn't particularly happy with the way the roster was arranged. You know, the second he could, he benched Juan Francisco, and the second he could, he put Ryan Goins in the lineup every day, and that stopped for now, but it went for a good 2.5 weeks. And, you know, Goins could have been here the last couple of weeks, August, instead of Munenori Kawasaki. They both have the same
right
sort of level of options, and I wonder if that's the guy that Gibby wanted, and he wasn't getting him. I don't know, but I really do think that unless there's strange behind the scenes goings on, and I don't think there are, Alex knows that John Gibbons is a very good manager. He's a good tactician. He handles the ball beautifully. And those are the things that you want out of your skipper. They're not magic, and they don't, you know, there's no manager as motivator to get your team to play crazy above its head. I know everybody raves about Buck Showalter and how great he is and how phenomenal an effect he has, and the Baltimore Orioles just won a division title, and it's the third time Buck Showalter's won a division title in 16 years as a major league manager.
Yeah.
So obviously he's not magic. Joe Maddon's not magic, because if he is, he stopped being magic this year, because Matt Moore and Jeremy Hellickson got hurt, and the Rays' defense dropped off as well. So managers aren't magic. And it's funny, I had a caller on Blue Jays Talk, I think two nights ago, who was talking about how terrible John Gibbons is and how wonderful John Farrell is. Because John Farrell, he says, makes them focus. But he doesn't make them focus this year. Because they already won the World Series, so they don't need to focus this year. And he didn't make them focus with the Blue Jays because he couldn't really explain why.
Yeah.
But John Farrell's finished in last place, fourth or fifth place in the American League East, three out of the 4 years that he's been a Major League manager, and in the other year he's won the series. And that alone should show you that managers aren't magic. So I think that Gibbons, you know, there have been a couple of things in September, the disappearance of Dan Johnson and a couple other things, but really nothing huge. Generally, he's a guy who far more often than not puts his players in a position where they're most likely to succeed. Whether they succeed or not is up to them.
Marcus Stroman starts this afternoon, 3:30 pregame, Blue Jays and Yankees from Yankee Stadium here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet. Six-game suspension is in the process of being appealed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Don't hold your breath.
That he's going to win it?
No, that he's even going to appeal it. I think there are a lot of indications that suggest he's just going to drop it after today's game.
Yeah, and then start 6 days later?
Yep.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm sure he wants to start at Yankee Stadium. That'd be neat for him. But don't you think he could... Sometimes you see these things get reduced. You don't think he could have it reduced? I mean, I how do you prove that he did throw at his head?
You can't. But a six-game suspension for a starting pitcher is basically having a start delayed 2 days.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you reduce it, then it becomes no punishment. And I don't know if they're willing to do that. The only thing for me, and again, I don't even think it's going to get to an appeal, but the only thing for me is that that there was no warning issue. Brandon Workman of the Red Sox got the same six-game suspension for throwing up and in and not hitting Evan Longoria in a game against the Rays. And part of the decision was he did it after warnings had been issued, and he got six games. So why mention warnings being issued if you're going to give the same punishment when warnings hadn't been issued?
It's a good point. Yeah, and so maybe Marcus Stroman making it his second-to-last start. Well, no matter what, it'll be his second-to-last start tonight. We'll see if his gets pushed back a couple of days after dropping a suspension, potentially. That would mean he would start against the Orioles instead of the Mariners, which
Saturday wouldn't
be that great for him.
And
but
then Mark Burley will start Sunday if he doesn't get his six innings on Wednesday.
That's true. I forgot about that, too. Anyways, we'll be listening this afternoon. Michael, thank you very much.
Thank you, Benjamin.